The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, Hartley, it's been 2 weeks now. Any update on the Vision Pro? Or is it still the same?
Well, this morning, UPS arrived.
Oh, no.
To take it away.
I honestly didn't know. This is not a bit. I did tell Hartley right before I hit record that I was going to ask him a question, but I didn't tell him what that question was going to be. And I had no idea. I mean, you told us last week that you were going to potentially return it. I didn't know that that was... I guess, yeah, 2 weeks, that's the return policy. So, well, RIP your Vision Pro time. Do you think there's ever a time where you might pick it up again?
This generation, probably not. But I will be willing to dive in with the low-cost version of this device, which may be at a more acceptable price point. And if it is lighter because it is made of plastic or some other composite material, and they managed to get that weight down and improve the comfort, maybe improve the headband, maybe it will just remove that amount of resistance, that amount of friction, to make it a device worth having in my little Apple ecosystem. But at the moment, for what is nearly $4,000 plus the travel case,
you bought the travel case too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you wanted to hear more of Hartley's thoughts, you can check out last week's episode where we went fully into all of that detail. Also, I wanted to update everyone on, we talked about foldables last week because of the whole Samsung stuff. And then two days ago, I did just make a video on all of this yesterday. So if you want to watch all of that, you can. But 2 days ago, we got word again from an article from The Information, right?
Yes,
The Information. That Apple is indeed working on a foldable, and it's even got a code name now. I forget what the code name is. It's like something 68, right? V68. Did I get that right? Okay, cool.
Something like that.
It doesn't matter what the code name is, but it does matter that that there is one, because that means that, you know, things are starting to ramp up a little bit. In theory, they've contacted production and have worked out kind of suppliers, like what they're potentially going to do with that. I don't know, but if you're wondering, is it going to be a flip style here or a fold style? Hartley, which one would you think that I would want? You know the answer to this.
Yeah, you want the fold style.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's going to be the flip, which, I mean, I'm still going to...
Which I prefer, so I'm happy.
I know, and I'm going to buy the heck out of it because, like, I'm such a walking contradiction. One of my biggest pet peeves is how large these phones are, but also, I wouldn't mind if they just got larger. I know, I don't make any sense. I get it. But I guess my thought process is, if I'm going to carry around something as big and tall as this, it might as well unfold into something larger. Like, that's just, you know, that makes sense. Because you're not storing it in your pocket unfolded like this. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But also, if I can keep the, you know, large form factor that we have with this, and then you can fold it down into something smaller, I'm into it. I hope they don't sacrifice specs. Like, I hope it's not like a flip, like, base model iPhone. Let's say this comes out, what, around the 18th? So iPhone 18 flip is more of like a iPhone 18, but just, you know, like, I want it to be a pro model. Does that make sense? Do you think that's what it's going to be?
I would have thought so, but given what we're going to discuss shortly, I honestly don't know anymore.
I don't know anymore either. Good segue. So for those of you who are interested in a Samsung Galaxy Z Flip, but with iOS on it, it looks like that's coming down the pipeline here, hopefully in the next few years. But this is so hard for me to do. I'm fully invested in iPhone 16 because that's coming up in like almost a month and a half. But we've got a lot of iPhone 17 rumors, and I'll be 100% honest with you. I have not really kept up with iPhone 17. My brain can't handle that right now. But in preparation for this show, you know, we do have some bullet pointed notes here. But I want you, since you're living in this, this is your world. The website operates in the future. Mac Rumors, obviously, that is the whole thing. The YouTube channel, which is what I am a part of, doesn't usually look that far ahead. So I'm not as invested. So Hartley, kick us off. Why is the iPhone 17 going to be a weird phone?
Well, it's one of the models, which we've briefly discussed before, but since then we've had more details emerge.
Yeah, this is where we had our major debate about thickness.
Yes.
We're bringing it back.
So the iPhone lineup, the main iPhone lineup that we get in September every year, has had four models since the iPhone, what would it be, the 12 lineup, where we had the 12, the 12 mini, the 12 Pro, and the 12 Pro Max. And then when it came to the iPhone 14, there was no 14 mini, and that was replaced with a 14 Plus. Four models. It looks like Apple is going to continue with the iPhone 17 lineup to have four models. However, the Plus is going and is going to be replaced by a new model, which is being tentatively called the iPhone 17 Slim. Now, this is just a word that analysts are using. Who knows if it will actually be called that? What we thought about this device in the rumor community when we first started hearing about this was that this would not be an outright replacement for the Plus. It's a replacement for the Plus in the sense that it is going to be the one of the four models in the lineup, and the Plus is being discontinued. But we assume that this would be a kind of iPhone 17 Ultra that sits above the Pro Max and offers an even more premium option. Now, what we've heard recently is that that's only half right. So it looks like the iPhone 17 Slim will be more expensive than the iPhone 17 Pro Max. It will have a new design, which will be its main selling point, and it will be positioned as a more premium proposition than the Pro Max. However, it looks
always a but.
It's not going to have high-end specifications. It is going to have the same sorts of specifications as the standard iPhone 17. And actually, in some respects, it will be even more pared back because it will only have things like a single rear camera. So it will be the most expensive iPhone in the lineup, but with only one rear camera. So the whole thing with this device is really odd, but quite interesting.
I don't know how I feel about that. And I mean, we did have an entire debate about this. Is the thickness of a phone really worth it being the most expensive, or lack thereof, you know, the thinness of it, I guess? Is it really worth it being that more expensive?
I think from Apple's perspective, it is about offering something more premium in terms of design. And this is something that Apple has not done for many years at this point. It used to do this kind of thing a little bit more often. I mean, the first generation MacBook Air was, in a lot of respects, a brilliantly designed machine and extremely unique, but it was also extremely expensive and not very powerful. The main selling point of the initial MacBook Air was its design. Mm-hmm. The same can be said for the 12-inch MacBook, which was extremely expensive, had inferior, it didn't even have MagSafe at the time. All of the other MacBooks had MagSafe. The 12-inch MacBook didn't, but it was all about design. It looks like that attitude is finally coming to the iPhone lineup. So it kind of makes sense in a way, But I think a lot of people in the tech community are going to be a little bit befuddled by this device and are going to think, but hang on, I want the best iPhone. Well, do you want the best in terms of design, or do you want the best in terms of specifications and battery life and camera?
I mean, Apple always kind of has been a like tech company, but also, you know, with good aesthetics that people kind of showcase, like AirPods Max. They're not, you know, the best for the price, but people like the way they look, and they kind of deliver a little bit of a statement, I feel like, sometimes when I see people out with them, especially with the colors and, you know, bands. They worked with Hermes. Like, I mean, there's countless ways, you know, they had a friggin' watch that was $20,000. they have definitely gone with design first related, maybe not necessarily the best device, but like, I don't know. With an iPhone, that's never really been the case. It's kind of always been, here's a non-pro model, here's a pro model. And having that, you know, and then of course there are the budget versions, but like there's clear limitations with that. And the design was always the most suffering of that. With the iPhone SE, you're stuck in, you know, 8 years ago. So I'm looking at these specs, right? Single camera. I could live with that if it's the best camera lens that they offer. And hopefully it's, you know, right now that would be that 48 megapixel main wide sensor. But like, hopefully by then they've figured out a way to make it even better. That could have really good crop capabilities. Like that 2x, you know, crop is just taking that from the maybe we can get it. And then like the digital zoom isn't terrible, because I don't often use, it's either the 1x or the 5x, and the 5x doesn't happen all the time, but when you need it, it's going to be kind of, that's going to be a struggle. But I can live with one camera if it's the best one that they offer. I could definitely live with A19, not a pro chip. That's fine. I can live with 8 gigs of memory. Like, iOS is so well optimized, it doesn't matter. I can't live with $1,299 though. I don't know. That's too much. It's for what you're getting. We'll have to see what it looks like. A redesigned iPhone does sound appealing. Is this the iPhone that ends up folding then? That would be interesting.
It would be interesting if the following year.
They took that.
That is the direction this went in. But I think what's fascinating about this is you can also look at it from the perspective of being an experimental device. Apple has done this over the years with lots of its products. I mean, just like I said, with the 12-inch MacBook. But there have been others. I mean, I think the Apple Watch Ultra is a good example of a kind of experimental Apple Watch that Apple didn't really know if it would succeed. Not having a curved display, the action button, and having a considerably larger design. I don't think Apple really knew if that would pay off. But it did. And with an iPhone, they've never really just decided, well, what if we took some cameras away? What if we made it radically thinner? What if we made some trade-offs here to deliver something different? Yeah. And the iPhone is a really mature product at this point. So to see Apple reapproach what the iPhone even is really interesting. And I think to some extent it was inevitable that eventually they would kind of take a step back from the product and try to look at it from a little bit of a different perspective. It's just going to be very interesting to see who chooses this over a pro model.
Yeah. If they could figure out a way to get that camera to be flush, ooh, that would be incredibly appealing with that form factor and just one long piece of flat glass or whatever they decide to end up using on the back. I see it says a hybrid titanium frame. What do we, what? Like, are we like hybrid with what? Aluminum?
Yes. So that would make it lighter, but it would still have some of the durability advantages of titanium.
Dude, I gotta tell you, every so often I go into an Apple store, right? I was just in one in Boston. Every time I go to a new city and I find one there, I try to at least go in and take a look. I feel like, you know, it's just kind of what you got to do. And I, for some reason, go to the iPhones and I pick them up. And every time I pick up an aluminum iPhone, I miss it. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I really like it. It's so much lighter. I really just like the feel of that. If they could just go back to that. Who decided that aluminum is not premium enough? it's fine. Why are we doing all these crazy frames? Stainless steel is by far my least favorite. After going through and having titanium, it's much better. It's kind of that nice mix of having aluminum. And so I guess we're kind of already there with a hybrid frame. But I don't know. Do you feel the same way or am I crazy?
I agree. I'm not a big fan of the stainless steel. It looks great when you first get it out of the box.
Oh, yeah.
But after that, especially if you use a case, I think titanium is a good alternative. But I do agree. I really do miss an aluminium chassis.
I also like the frosted glass. I just kind of like the iPhone 15. I think it's a really good phone. Like, if it had the really same pro specs, I would just be told. And again, maybe this is a good experiment because I don't. Do I need all of those things? Like, I don't know. Probably not. I could get away with it.
Rolling it forward to the iPhone 17 lineup as a whole, we are expecting the iPhone 17 lineup to be the very first time that every device has ProMotion.
Yeah.
So we are adding more and more Pro features. I mean, now the entry-level iPhones have a 48-megapixel wide camera, which is outstanding, which gives you the ability to crop in. It is a great camera. It is just, and even to some extent, it really can take the role of that telephoto because you can crop in. I can kind of see how that could replace a Pro model for a lot of people. But what I'm concerned about with where the Slim comes in is that with features effectively reaching parity across the lineup in a lot of regards, this is going to get quite messy. So do you buy what will at that time be at least an iPhone SE, which will be completely redesigned, which by then will have OLED and a bunch of other features. It will basically be like an iPhone 14.
Yeah.
So do you buy an iPhone SE? Do you buy an iPhone 17? Do you buy an iPhone 17 Pro, an iPhone 17 Pro Max, or do you buy an iPhone 17 Slim? And I think for a lot of consumers, that is a confusing proposition. Because if you go to an Apple store and you say, well, I want the best iPhone, what will that mean? An Apple Store employee won't be able to give you a straight answer to that question.
No, I think, yeah, I think that's kind of difficult to do it now, honestly. So in the lineup that you just said, the Plus is still there, right?
No.
Okay.
So the Slim is being introduced and the Plus is being discontinued.
Okay, good. I was going to recommend that this would be better if it just took place, if it took the place of the Plus. And also, in the price point, it should take the place of the Plus. Make the, what is it now? $799,
$899,
$999, $1099? Does that sound right?
Not sure about that.
$699, $799, I don't know. Anyways, it should be in that 800-ish price point, my opinion, personally. Because I don't understand what you're getting. Besides a better design, sure, whatever. I don't understand what else you're getting out of that. The design would need to be radically different, very nice looking, something that would be a statement, quote unquote, which I hate to say, it's a phone, but something that would appeal to, I don't know, younger crowd, fashion crowd, something like that. Otherwise, what is the point of putting it above a Pro model? Especially the Pro Max or Ultra or whatever we're going to call it at that point. I know you're going to say it's design, but to me, it does not compute, especially if they can't figure out battery life or if battery life remains the same, fine. But
It will be a large device. It will have a 6.6-inch display, yeah, which is bigger than a Pro model. And also you have to consider that with only one rear camera, that frees up a lot of space inside the device. We are also expecting it to have Apple's custom 5G modem, which they've been working on for many years at this point. It will be the only model in the iPhone 17 lineup to have this modem, which should theoretically be more efficient because it will be effectively like what Apple Silicon has done for the Mac. Currently, all iPhones use Qualcomm modems. So theoretically, there should be enormous efficiency savings because the modem is a very power-hungry part of the iPhone. So there will be technology inside this device.
But would they not switch to that 5G modem? Because the iPhone 4 or the iPhone SE 4 is rumored to get that same one. So yes. Why would that not go across the entire 17 lineup? You would think, right?
You would think, but apparently not.
I can't deal with this. This is stressing me out. Also, $12.99 is maybe by then we're going to have more price increase, but right now that would be the highest iPhone starting price.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, it's not larger than the Pro Max though, so it is in that in between. Because right now the Pro Max is 6.7, and it's going to be moving to 6.9. So I mean, that's right, or is it six? It's 6.7.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, man, all of these numbers, they start to blend in. I'm like, are we going 6.5 to 6.7 this year, or is it the other way around? 6.9 seems crazy. Remember when 7-inch tablets were so popular, like 8 years ago, and now we have one almost in a phone? That's insane to me. Anyways, yeah, I'm having a hard time figuring out where this is going to be. And Apple has this weird way of either making me feel validated and saying we have no idea where this fits in, or they figure out a way to kind of show us where it fits in. So I guess I got to wait another
I think
year.
That with several differentiating features, so it is not only design, because if it also has this custom modem, which allows it to be more power efficient, that
who's
isn't
gonna care
that
about
it,
that?
Well, it's not about who really sure. cares about it. It's how the device is positioned. And if right. it is positioned as a showcase of what Apple is capable of doing in several areas, that is a little bit different. Likewise, if they say, okay, it's only got one camera, but this is the best camera that has ever been put into an iPhone, a lot of people will be convinced by that. And we don't know if the mechanical aperture will come to this device.
That's good marketing, though. The way you said that, it's a camera. People like cameras. They take pictures, obviously. And the way you phrased it, that's good marketing. The custom modem, I don't know how you market that in the sense, unless you're just taking that as a piece of the overall power efficiency for the thing, which is, I'm guessing, where you're getting at. And that's
well, it's,
fine,
it's,
but
it's
I,
a
sh- it's, not
it's
a
showcase
of
technology in multiple areas. So if sure. it has the most complex yet durable frame on an iPhone ever because of the hybrid materials, if it has the first time a custom silicon modem in the main iPhone lineup, and it has the first time an iPhone has a mechanical aperture as well, suddenly Apple is touting their best modem technology, their best camera technology, their best design. Mm-hmm. And I can see how that works if the design is incredible, which it must be for them to believe that they can sell a device at this price point. They must have a lot of faith in it. And if it's even thinner than the latest iPad Pros, I mean, can you imagine if this iPhone was 4.5 millimeters thick?
I'm sorry. I am envisioning the worst part of YouTube. The durability tests are just going to be outrageous. Should I make one at that point? I feel like I'd be able to easily bend it. I mean, I would have to be. Maybe not. I don't know if I want to embarrass
Well, the new iPad Pros are quite durable.
But that's huge. That's a lot more area to be able to like easily bend with your hand. But like an iPhone, you know what I'm envisioning? I'm envisioning this Galaxy Flip here, just like a thinner version of this. I feel fairly confident that if I tried hard enough and pushing pressure here on the middle, I could easily break this. Not, I don't know if I can break it in half, but I can certainly snap this hinge and maybe not. I don't know, but I feel like this is like one of those memes where it's like my biggest flaw is thinking that I could do something, and like this is where I feel like I could easily break this phone. So we'll see. I just don't know how that's going to work, and I don't know if that's going to do well or if it's going to be like the mini where it flops. Is the Plus flopping? Is that what I'm hearing too? Is that not really that popular?
Yes, so both the iPhone Mini and the iPhone Plus have generally only accounted for about 5% of iPhone sales. Not many people buy them because chances are if you are interested in a big iPhone, you are interested in one at a high price point because you want the triple cameras, you want ProMotion, you want the longest battery life.
So it comes
always
down
on
to
display.
So, sorry, I'm curious then. You think it just comes down to what with people deciding that a non-pro is fine? Are they just thinking, why would I spend the extra $100 or $200 to get the Plus when I'm fine with the regular 15? Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, but also if you are interested in a big screen iPhone, a lot of those customers are happy to pay a premium for a Pro Max anyway.
But I guess I say that's crazy, but we still, I always forget this. What is the subsidized price of that? Because I'm going to look this up, but I'm guessing it's not that much to where it makes so much more sense to me. But like right now in my mind, I'm thinking like $799 or $899. What is the actual price of this phone, for the love of God? I'm so sorry of saying
$899
to what's the 15 Pro Max? $1099 now?
No, that's $1199.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean,
and that's why the Slim would come in at $1299.
It's still $300. But when you subsidize it monthly, it is what, $33 for the base model iPhone 15 Pro Max, and the iPhone 15 Plus monthly is not going to tell me. $28. What did I say? 33 to 28. I mean, an extra $5 a month. Yeah, I totally get it. So, okay. Fair point. Fair point, Apple. I understand why you'd remove it. Now, here's the thing. Are you going to go, let's just say it's the same price, $33. Maybe it'd be like $35, an extra $2 a month. Are you going to go, Hartley, as a consumer, are you going to go 15 Pro Max or 17 Pro Max or 17 Slim and pay $2 more a month compared to the specs that you're getting for the other one, where it's going to be better?
For me, it would be the Slim, given the choice. Also because I am bothered by, as we have discussed many times at this point, by the thickness, the size, and the weight of these devices. So the 17 Slim probably would be the right sort of device for me.
You think that would still be really does though?
I mean, it's the iPhones are just growing and growing. So if
you're
going
to have to get used to it.
If it's a choice between the iPhone 17 Pro, which will be thicker and heavier, and an iPhone 17 Slim that is larger but lighter and thinner, I probably will go with the 17 Slim.
And the 17 Pro, is that going to remain the same at 6.5 now that it's increasing? So, I mean, technically it's what, 0.1 inch smaller? Or no, 6.3. So it'd be a few. We're going from 6.1 to 6.3.
It would be 0.3 inches larger.
Yeah, okay.
So it would be bigger, but I feel like for one-handed use and just for the sense of how pocketable this device is, making it considerably thinner and lighter might just be able to persuade someone like me. I enjoyed the 10% reduction in weight when we moved to titanium, so I'm sure I would appreciate a radical design change like this. I was a big fan of the 12-inch MacBook, sort of for this reason. So there are people out there that would like this sort of thing. It really does just come down to cameras for me, because I really like the telephoto camera. And I will be loathed to get rid of that. But it depends on the resolution of the camera and how much you can crop in on the sensor.
Yeah,
because if it's a 100 megapixel camera, then you can crop in enough that I probably won't miss that.
4 or 5x would be nice. If you could do that, then I wouldn't need it. I never use the ultra wide. In fact, I'm getting incredibly annoyed with the ultra wide because it alludes to the feature of the macro lens, which I want to go away. And I don't understand how this keeps happening. I'm 99.9% sure I have it turned off in settings, but I still keep getting the auto switch anytime I get close to anything. And it's driving me insane. So if this is a bug and you're an Apple engineer and you are within earshot of the person, because you're not that person, but you're within earshot of that person, please whisper gently to them that they need to fix this, because I'm going insane. I need a list. I need a table maybe on my wall here in front of me of all of the screen sizes, because I can't keep them straight anymore. So we would have 6.1, no, 6.3, 6.6, 6.9. Okay. That's pretty evenly spread out.
No,
across.
It would be so it will be, if we're talking about the whole lineup in 2026, Yeah. Then the iPhone SE will be the smallest iPhone at 6.1 inches.
I'm ignoring that one.
Okay, but that is the only iPhone at that point.
It's not a part of the
6.1 inches.
Okay, no.
And then in the iPhone 17 lineup, we would have the iPhone 17, which by then, the standard iPhone 17, which will have grown to 6.3 inches.
Three, yes.
Yeah.
Then 6.6. Then
we have the iPhone 17 Pro at 6.3.
Yeah.
Then we have the iPhone 17 Pro Max at 6.9.
Yeah. And then the Slim at 6.6.
And the Slim at 6.6.
That's what I just said. I just lumped the Pro and the non-Pro because they're both the same size together. So there will be three sizes in four phones. Kind of like what we have this. No, we have two sizes. This is too much. I'm moving on. I can't. I'm getting over it. I do want to know, though, from everyone, if you are listening, you've heard the specs the best we can relate. I mean, we're still a full year behind this, a year and some change. Does an iPhone 17 Slim appeal to you at a price point larger than the iPhone 17 Pro Max, assuming it goes unchanged? Does that appeal to you, or would you just be like, why would I get that? I'm going to still remain the same thickness and get the better specs. I'm guessing the people listening to this are probably more tech. I don't know. Every time I say that, I'm always surprised, and then they all just agree with you at all times. So I'm guessing that they'll go 17. And
I don't
guess
know.
What?
I think this will be a controversial device. I think I like the idea of it. Yeah. I think it is going to confuse people terribly. I think it will confuse me. And when we eventually get there, it will be quite refreshing in some ways. Because if it does look this different, we complain every year about the iPhone being too similar. But how cool will it be when we have an iPhone that doesn't have the camera in the top left corner? When the actual thickness of it will be maybe even thinner than the thinnest iPhone ever, which was the iPhone 6. If it's even thinner than that, and who knows what else will be different with the design.
Maybe it'll be bezel-less.
I would have thought that maybe it will, the shape of it will be completely different as well.
Ooh, like a rounder shape? Ooh.
Yeah, or maybe rounder on the back, but flat on the front glass. That's what I'd really like the iPhone 5C.
Ooh. Okay, now you're talking. Now I'm interested.
And if the main camera is larger and it's in the center of the device, that is also going to look considerably different.
I want it flush. If you can make it flush, I'd be on board. Because I'm a no case person. For those of you who are like, why does he care? So whenever I put my phone down on the table, it's wobble city over here, and I don't love that. I mean, I'm confused, as probably everyone else is, with how this is going to be positioned. I'm open-minded. I personally would just love for them to make this phone be that thin and then just fold it in half. And let's just move on. Let's just be a year early. Because we're thinking 18, iPhone 18 lineup.
At the earliest, yeah.
At the earliest. That's too late for me. All right, well, that's the iPhone 17 Slim. We mentioned the iPhone SE 4 a couple of times in there. You want to go over some of the recent changes, and when are we expecting this? Is it next year, or is it possibly this year? Because it looks like production's going to ramp up in October.
Yeah, so it definitely won't be announced alongside the iPhone 16 lineup. It looks like this could be an end of year device. Maybe it could come out just before the holidays. Probably quite unlikely. In reality, this would be a January device. Normally, the iPhone SE, every single one I believe, has come out in March. But if production is going to ramp up in October, that would be quite a late launch. Chances are it will be sooner than that. So somewhere in maybe the January, I would say December to February is where we are with that device. And I think that device will be insanely popular.
Well, especially if it has what it's going to have, which is just basically like a iPhone 14-esque body and the specs of an iPhone 15 at that time, right?
So it will be an iPhone 14, but take away the ultra-wide camera and add a 48-megapixel camera.
Sure.
Add a USB-C port instead of Lightning.
Great.
add the action button instead of the mute switch.
Awesome.
And add the custom 5G modem, which is cool. Okay. The first time we've ever seen that.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
So it's still going to have the same chip. I thought the chips were always a year.
Oh, the chip. The chip. Yeah, I would have thought this will have the A18.
Yeah.
It would be really weird for this to have an iPhone 15 chip, because the iPhone 15 lineup is made with which has the iPhone 7, which has the A17 Pro. That is kind of an interim chip made with the first generation version of TSMC's 3-nanometer process. This year, the entire iPhone lineup, regardless of whether you get a Pro or a non-Pro device, is going to have the A18 chip, just the A18, the same across the whole lineup. Important to mention Apple Intelligence there, because, of course, the current iPhone 15 and iPhone 15 Plus do not support Apple Intelligence. So it would be unthinkable for an iPhone SE that might be around for a few years to not have Apple Intelligence. So
I don't know, though.
I would say we are 99% chance this is going to have an A18 chip.
If they release it and it has Apple Intelligence capabilities, which I agree with you, I think they will do that. What is the point of buying? And you can say these things all you want, but I don't see the point in then getting an iPhone 16. I really don't. I mean, there's some improvements, but they're not worth the extra jump, especially if this thing's priced at $499. That is such a good price point, and the specs that you've told me are good enough for most people out there who don't care, especially if you're an iPhone 16 user and you're looking at it and it has all the, like, I would just say go with the SE. Like, you're gonna get, unless you really need dual cameras,
get by upgrading to the iPhone 16 instead of the iPhone SE 4, you would get the ultra wide camera, you would get dynamic island, which I think a lot of people care about. I personally would upgrade to have Dynamic Island, because I think that it really is the thing that makes you feel like you've got a more modern device. And I think a lot of the reason why people choose an iPhone 15 or even an iPhone 14 Pro over previous devices is because the Dynamic Island is just cool.
I don't have an issue with the Dynamic Island. I don't know that I'm like a Dynamic Island power user, and I don't know that I could believe anyone that would tell me they are a Dynamic Island power user, because there's really not a whole lot you could do.
I don't think you could be a power user, but like, there's nothing, I do like, enjoy using it.
I don't know that I enjoy using it. I'm indifferent, I think, is the point.
I like seeing my album artwork up there when I'm listening to something. I like being able to long press on it and get access to controls quickly, and it is good for live activities. Particularly, you know, if you're getting a flight and you've got an app like Flighty, it is really useful where you can see that directly on your iPhone at all times in the Dynamic Island. Now, whether you upgrade singularly because of that, I mean, a lot of people won't. You are right. And I can't really think of too many other things that the iPhone 16 would have other than that camera and the Dynamic Island, because both devices won't have ProMotion. Both devices won't have the always-on display. What else would there be? I mean, I guess you will have the capture button as well by then on the iPhone 16. So that's three that I've come up with off the top of my head. I'm not sure if there will be...
I don't know what's the point. I mean, we don't know anything about it besides the fact that we're assuming camera-related stuff. I don't know that anybody... Yeah.
It's like an action button for the camera.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know that that's a thing that, you know, draw, like, this is a good phone for my dad. My dad's still rocking an iPhone 8 Plus. Definitely not safe. He can't even get updates. I've been telling him to get a new phone, but he's like, why? It's fine. Works fine still. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not. It's not fine. Like, you're not getting OS updates anymore. Things are going to stop working. So I'm guessing this year he's probably going to have to make the decision of upgrading. And so if this is coming out, and I can have him hold off and things are still working for him, that would be a perfect phone. I feel like that's like kind of where a lot of people are going to be recommending that to their parents, to coworkers that are kind of in the same boat. So yeah, I think that'll be hugely successful. I don't really have anything else to say about the iPhone SE 4, I'll be honest with you.
I think it will be one of the best iPhones ever offered, owing to its price point and just the combination.
And the smallest.
It will be, I think a lot of people will be quite angry and upset that it is not smaller, because a lot of people have decided that the iPhone SE should be a little bit like the mini, but it's not meant for that as much as I wish it was. It is just meant to offer an iPhone at a low price point. And to me, something that is about $500, where you are getting a 48 megapixel camera, USB-C, you are getting an OLED display. This is an enormously compelling device. I think these things will be hugely popular. I certainly will be recommending it to a lot of people I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be like my standard, like, do you need any high-end features? No, get this. It's the one to get. Save yourself some money. Quick, this is a pop quiz. What's the best iPhone screen size to have ever happened? And which phone was it? You know,
this is an easy answer for me.
Yeah. Well, no.
Can you guess?
No, I was kind of asking you to guess what mine would be, but I guess we know. Let's just say it at the same time, because it's going to be the same. We can say the phone name on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
The iPhone
10. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
5.8 inches. That's the sweet spot right there.
I loved my iPhone 10. I loved my iPhone 10S, and I loved my iPhone 11 Pro. I think the iPhone 11 Pro is probably one of my favorite iPhones, but that frosted glass and the triple camera setup.
Let's go back to it.
It was just such a nice device. I really enjoyed the size, because even though it had the stainless steel, it was still so small and nimble and lightweight. It was great for one-handed use, but it was big enough. It was still smaller than plus-sized devices at the time that still had the older design, even though those devices only had a 5.5-inch display.
I never got to truly enjoy the XS Max, or the XS and the 11 Pro, because I just went to the Max sizes. And I don't know. I just never got to enjoy it.
I think that was a mistake.
I agree. I had one great year. Well, you know what it was? It's my FOMO, my fear of missing out and not being, like, there was no other option. It was just that one phone in terms of, like, here's the highest end one that you can get. And I loved it. We were all on the same level. And then it was like, oh, nope, here's the Max. And it's technically got the bigger screen and the better battery and the bigger display. And I'm like, or I already said that, but, and I'm like, oh. And then they started doing different features for the highest one, had the better cameras for a little bit, and then they brought it back. It's such as, they don't, just bring it back. Bring one phone back. That's all we need. One size.
That would be my perfect iPhone, I think. If just we were to phone. Throw modern cameras, modern specifications in that latest generation chip, I would be really happy with that device.
In a 5.8 inch form factor?
Yeah, I think it is the... I also am a big fan of the 5.3 inches or 5.4 on the Mini.
Mini? I was just going to ask you.
It is a little bit small. I don't remember now, quite honestly. We've talked about so many screen sizes.
I just, like, my brain is... It was 5.18. No, wait, that's not right. These are all the dimensions. I don't want that. Just give me the... Sorry. If you find it before me, you just...
It is perfect for one-handed use, 5.4, but it is a little bit too small. 5.4.
Two. Don't forget that.
It is just a little bit too small, I think. The 5.8 with the rounded design, perfect. Perfect iPhone.
Yep.
I also, I know this is going to be really controversial. I am a big fan of the iPhone 5C.
Yeah, we've said that many times, and lots of people have said that you were crazy. I still remember one specific comment that was like, thank God Apple doesn't listen to you. Plastic, are you kidding me? And I'm like, because we were like totally on board with bringing back plastic.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they should do it. I'm just saying that if they did, I wouldn't be upset about it.
Here are the advantages of plastic, right? You don't have to worry about wireless charging because it can go through the frame. So all of the trouble that with having a metal chassis, you don't have to worry about that anymore. Likewise, glass is not only does it break easily, but it is heavy. So plastic resolves that issue. It also is extremely durable. I am a big fan of plastic. And I also think that it looks... It reminds me of those sort of polycarbonate MacBooks. It's a little bit retro. And I just think it feels good. I mean, Apple is said to be looking into bringing back that kind of logic with a plastic casing for the Apple Watch SE to bring the price down even more, to get it to a $200 price point. And one way to do that is to give it a plastic casing. I don't actually know how I feel about that on a watch, that sort of device, but I think it makes sense on an iPhone. I think that plastic can be premium, and I think really the Vision Pro, to bring us full circle in this conversation,
the
best example of how sometimes plastic is a perfectly legitimate material to be using.
And there's plastic out there. I don't remember which one exactly. The Pixel 5, maybe? There's some plastic out there that phone manufacturers have used that feels like aluminum or glass. They like can add a little bit of a coating on it to make it feel like it's still, you know, premium, but it's plastic. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the exact plastic from the iPhone 5C, even though I did love it and the colorful... You know, options.
Imagine how much lighter it would make the iPhone. I mean, we were talking a moment ago about how we like the aluminium iPhones.
I do love it. Yeah.
Imagine what that would be like if it was plastic, and just how much lighter that would make it. So I know it will never happen, and I know everyone's going to leave comments saying that I'm crazy and that I'm wrong they're glad that Apple doesn't listen to us. But I like plastic Apple devices. I have no shame in it.
Why does that comment even need to be said? Like, obviously Apple doesn't listen to our podcast and then take what we say and makes the product based off of our own opinions. It's going to be what a waste of time of writing that comment. I don't understand. Like, it's fine. Okay. We can have opinions and everyone's going to survive. They're not going to listen to us and make the worst phone in the history of phones because we suggested how it should be. So everyone,
there are worse materials to make an iPhone out of than plastic. Yeah. I think we can all agree that.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I can't think of anything right now, but I don't know. Copper. That would just be interesting.
Be a bad material.
Remember the copper colored iPhone that was rumored to come out? I would have been all over that. I would have been all.
We'll get it one year.
No, we won't. I'm officially given up.
This year we're going to get rose gold iPhone. Back, or a rose colored iPhone, which will replace the blue titanium, which is fine.
I like the blue.
It's been a long time since we've had a rose colored iPhone.
Who cares though? Like, let's get a different color out there.
That is a different color if we've not had it for years.
Ever does Apple like only have a swatch of colors that are just like 80,000 shades of gray, white, black, blue for the promo?
Most iPhones they sell,
they're allergic to colors.
Those colors,
I know it's the yes, I get that because, but if you're gonna make an experimental color, like they always do one that's just a little bit off, a little bit edgier. Like, can we do one that you've never done before? We have rose gold. We've done that. It's boring. I'm over it. We've had gold. Done. Over with. Blue. We've had every shade of blue you can possibly think of. Bring back the forest green. That was cool. I liked that.
Yeah. That was a nice color.
Or what was the green that wasn't the original green? That one was the one. I never got it, but I liked it. Is it the forest green?
Oh, midnight green. Midnight green.
Midnight green? It wasn't the original launch. It was the refresh.
That was on the iPhone 11 Pro.
That was sick.
Which looks fantastic.
Yeah, I want that one. I don't like the... I lied. I do not like the... this. For some reason, this green haunts my dreams. I don't know why I don't like it. I'm looking at pictures right now, and I like the other one.
Wait, which green don't you like? The forest green?
Yeah, the original green. I didn't like
the alpine green.
What was... I don't know. There's too many greens, man. We have, if we have six different names for these greens, that tells you that my point is valid in that we need to try a different color. What's
and for
orange?
You, that's
we've never done orange. We've never done orange.
Yeah.
We've never done it. Okay. Or like purple. There's there been a purple? There has been a purple.
Yes.
That was like 2 years.
There have
like
been
2 years
several purples.
So we're literally orange. Is
I mean,
like
we've
one of
done,
the
we've
yellow.
Kind of done orange. We've done orange on the iPhone XR. We did an iPhone. We did an orange iPhone 5C.
Listen, there's a. Wait, what? No, that was coral.
It looks orange.
It's not that close. It's not. It's more salmon pink than they love doing.
I think
this.
It's orange
they love
enough.
They love towing. It's not orange enough. It's not to me. All right. By this point, everybody's checked out. This is our color episode. We are going to do a full episode on colors one day. Because we'll save that for when there's really nothing going on. And thank you all for listening again this week, and we'll catch everybody in the next episode.